Welcome to the Full Press Fantasy Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Sunra. Joining me is my co-host, Brad Harbin. Brad, how are you doing?
Hey, Kyle. I'm doing great. After 20 weeks on the losing side here in Jacksonville, we finally got a victory. Well, I guess it's actually more than 20 weeks if you count the offseason. Doing well, man. How about yourself?
Yeah, that's a... You know, some streaks you don't like to break. That's one you definitely wanted to break as soon as possible. But yeah, 20 straight games. I believe they were saying it was the second longest losing streak in NFL history.
Yep.
I didn't look it up. Do you know who's the longest and how many games it was? Like, how close were they to like being the worst?
I want to say it was the Bucks back in the 70s. And I think they were, I want to say like 26 or 27. I'll look it up here in a little bit, but yeah, something like that.
That's
back when the Yeah.
I mean, do they have a bunch of like 0-14, 0-12 seasons? They must have. I'll look that up later. Yeah. I'm curious.
I think so. Yeah.
The NFL history portion of the show. We'll tease that for now, and we'll look that up, and hopefully by the end of the episode, we have an answer there. But really, what we're here to answer is your, sit start questions in the sense, talking about rankings here specifically, debating our rankings like we do every week. And it's funny because less games this week. You know, so many teams on bye. I think it's six teams on bye weeks. You know, with player injuries. Yeah. There's at some positions like, oh my god, it's so hard to fill a top 12 at this position that feels like a legit top 12. But with so few players available near the top, especially in the top 40, which was what we're really looking at, I'm surprised there were so many players that we were so far off on. I combed the list, and every player we're going to talk about today is double digits spots difference between the two of us. And I know that there's one player in particular where I'm a little high on them now, and injury reports, we'll see, I may lower them. So that player might not be, we'll talk about them anyway, but that might be one where it's not as extreme of a difference. But yeah, I was surprised that, this player's double digit, like there's a lot that are really similar, but the differences we do have are quite extreme. So that's fun there. So we'll get into some interesting debates with certain players.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, yeah, the six teams being off, that would definitely, when I was shuffling the order or the rankings, I was like, wow, I haven't seen this guy on my ranking all year, and here he is, kind of thing. And so yeah, we'll see what he does. But that was interesting. I mean, especially in the six pretty marquee teams, including the Bills and the Steelers. I mean, obviously they got the rookie Harris and their wide receivers, but it's definitely eye-opening to see some new names pop up towards the end of some of the rankings.
I think three teams in particular, like you mentioned Steelers, but I say Bills, like you mentioned, Cowboys and Chargers. If we're talking super flex, that's really, even single quarterback, that's basically three of like half of the top six of quarterbacks, and all those offensive players, like at every position, you've got tight ends that start there too. So like every position, multiple receivers, all the running backs, and the Cowboys and even the Bills, I know Singletary not so much lately, but multiple running backs that are capable of starting. So so we're going to scramble, but that's what it's all about. Yeah. Right. I mean, here's the one thing is anyone, unless someone like purposely took a bunch of week seven teams and like only, they're more punished this week than others, but then they'll be fine the rest of the weeks. But for the most part, like if you're a manager thinking, oh my God, there's so many bye weeks, how are we doing this? Everyone's got to deal with these bye weeks. Some teams might be affected more than others, but this is something that's, everyone's struggling right now. So if you feel like you're scrambling a little bit, know that the rest of the league you're in is probably feeling the same way. So not to panic this week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's a mistake now. Like early on when I started playing, I would look at the bye weeks and try to, manipulate it, a little bit, but I don't do that as much anymore, except if I'm getting a backup quarterback, obviously I want them to have a different bye week, the mindset's changed tremendously for me. I don't know why I, focused on that so much when I was younger, but I guess as I got a little wiser and older, here you go.
We like numbers, right? Bye weeks are very clear numbers. It's something like the thing is, you cannot play that player that week, right? Like you get an absolute zero. There's like, you have to take them out of your lineup. So like knowing that, I think, like you said, the onesie positions, if you start one quarterback, start one tight end, or even super flex with quarterbacks, like those are the two positions where you want to maybe most pay attention to bye weeks. But especially wide receiver, it's so deep. You can find two or three wide receivers that aren't in that bye week, even if like the two main starters or the three main starters you drafted are all from that same team, then, you know, you're not going to be as hurt at those positions. But I know last 2 weeks, really, we've talked about dynasty trades. I've done a lot of trades up to this week. This week, you know, I've been making offers. Let's see, what did I do? I sold Nyheim Hines for a fourth in a contract league. So that was, you know,
okay.
That kind of insignificant, not too much there, but you know, a few offers going out right now, just in different leagues, trying to do different things. Leagues where I'm rebuilding, trying to sell players for picks, and the opposite in other leagues where, you know, one league in particular, I only have two quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Kyler Murray. It's a super flex, so could run it with just Murray, and then the super flex spot, just fill it with a non-quarterback. But I'm trying to send out some offers to see if I can trade for a quarterback. You know, I have Drew Lock, unless we get news that Bridgewater's out, I could start Lock. But other than that, I think I have an offer sent out of a second and 2/3 for Derek Carr. Not sure if that's going to get accepted or not. So we'll see. But aside from that, I guess the one quick theory thing to talk about is, you know, starting procedures with players. I don't know if we've gone through this yet this year on this podcast, but I know we did talk a little bit about like injuries. I believe there's one game where a couple players were questionable on the Monday night, and just how to approach that Monday night injury thing. I know with the Chargers, I think it was that one week where we weren't really sure if like Herbert was going to play or even yeah. Allen. So I kind of talked, okay, like how to, you know, approach that. But the one thing I like to do to kind of make it easier for those Monday nights, but also help yourself Sunday mornings too, is the Thursday game. So if you choose players from the Thursday game, don't put them in your flex spot, put them in whatever their running back or wide receiver spot. So let's say you picked up Dearness Johnson, you've got him going against the Broncos. Maybe he's your third running back. And so you would like naturally, okay, he's my flex starter. But what you don't want to do is put him in your flex, because let's say you do that and suddenly one of your top two running backs suffers an injury Friday and isn't out, even though you expect, you suddenly have to replace them with a running back specifically. But if that running back is in the flex spot, you can replace them with any position. So it just makes that easier. So again, for Thursday night players, if you're playing Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams, put them in your RB spot, not your flex spot, even though they're probably not your top one or two running back, but do that anyway. Right. Same with a guy like, I guess, Tim Patrick, right? He's probably like a fringe starter, right? Like where you'd maybe make flex starter decisions with him. But again, don't play him in the flex spot. Put him in the wide receiver spot. Whoever your wide receiver one, it doesn't matter if they're in your flex spot. It's not like they get less points in that flex spot. So I always kind of prioritize my lineup in terms of who's in the positional spots being the earlier games and who's in the flex spot as the later games as possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, you got to have that flexibility as the week goes on, because I mean, and especially with COVID being prevalent, I mean, someone could pop a positive test on a Friday and obviously be out on the weekend or the Monday night game. So yeah, you definitely, if you have players going Thursday night, put them in their, I guess you would call it their natural position or whatever the case, and then keep them out of that flex spot so you can keep that open. So yeah, no, that's a great tip for the listeners.
Flex spot is all about flexibility. You want that flexibility as late in the week as possible. So if something comes up, you have as much. Again, the keyword is flexibility, right? That's why it's called a flex spot. So we'll talk about rankings. And one of the things that I use as kind of a basis for my rankings is what I call the goal line guide. And I do an article every week on Full Press Coverage. By the time you're listening to this, the article's probably out. If not, should be out shortly after. I think the plan this week is edit this, publish this, and then edit, publish the article. So they should both be out kind of at the same time. One of the things I do to create that is basically I'm looking at touchdown efficiency inside the 5-yard line, and then defensive efficiency for those matchups, like whatever the team is facing on defense. I look at their defensive stats. The highest over under this week is the Chiefs Titans game. So that'll be a game where we expect a lot of touchdowns. So where are they going to come? 57 over under. It's five, it's seven, it's 6.5 points higher than any other over under. So apparently what the odds makers are saying, this Chiefs Titans game is the shootout this week to kind of buy into. So
okay,
we'll start with the Chiefs. So I take their and I separate it running and passing. How effective are they at running? How effective are they at passing? From a run offense, the Chiefs have run inside the five, specifically six plays. So six times they've run it, seven times they've passed it. 5 rushing touchdowns, 6 passing touchdowns. So actually, they're pretty close. That's a bad example because they're both pretty high. 83% efficiency running, 86% efficiency passing. Now, how does that translate to the goal line guide? Well, I look at the Titans. What do they do specifically? So the Titans, for them, they've had 13 run plays against them with only 5 touchdowns allowed. So 38%, so pretty low. 10 pass attempts with 4 touchdowns, so 40%. Actually, this is a horrible example because they're both pretty equal on both. But what it leads to is I average out. Okay, so I take the Chiefs 83% run efficiency and average it out with the Titans 38% defensive efficiency, gives me a number. And then what I do is I use the team's implied total. So what I'm doing is the teams that are likely going to score more points, it adds to the goal line grade. So it's kind of the way to add into these implied totals that the odds makers have already figured out. But I also, again, factor in pretty heavily how teams have been scoring and how they've been defending inside the goal line. What's a better example? Here's one with some pretty flat numbers and things are actually quite spread out. So the 49ers and Colts game, 44.5. So this is on the lower end of the over-under, not the lowest. The lowest this week is Jets, Patriots, and Browns, Broncos. But so Colts, 49ers at 44.5 over-under, half of that is 22. So you take that 22 and you look, okay, so the 49ers favored by 3.5. Half of that spread is 1.75. So you add 22 to 1.75, which would be 23.75. Then you take it minus 1.75 to give the Colts total, which is 20.25, which is 3.5 less than 23.75. So again, math all works out. So I take those numbers. So we'll take that 23.75 for the 49ers. They've scored 4 rushing touchdowns this year. So 50% efficiency. The Colts have only allowed 1 rushing touchdown on defense, 17% touchdown efficiency for offenses. So add that average out, added with the 23.75 gives a 57.25 goal line rushing grade for the 49ers, it's funny how they're naturally like the 49ers have not scored a touchdown inside the 5 passing yet. They've had some attempts, but they're 0-4. Yet their goal line grade passing is actually higher than their rushing grade because the Colts have allowed 5 passing touchdowns, 71% efficiency, as opposed to the 1 rushing touchdown, 17% efficiency. So, So because of that, because the defensive matchup, it actually means the goal line grade for the 49ers passing is slightly higher, 59.25. So it's still not great, but most weeks, the 49ers rushing goal line grade is much higher than their passing grade. This week, it's not because of the opponent. So it factors in what the team does, but also the opponent. Anyways, that was a long-winded way to kind of explain the goal line grade, but I will kind of reference some grades throughout the player rankings. Brad, sure. I think it's time to get to those player debates, unless you have any questions about the goal line grade process.
No questions. I'm certainly interested to see how this plays out the rest of the year. So yeah, I feel good. I like the math. I understand it, you had that example of the Colts and the 49ers. Now I am questioning one of the guys that I have a feeling we're going to be talking about here in a little while.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
There you go.
But yeah, again, everyone has different factors on what they choose for their rankings. Right? And this is just something I'm going to, maybe it's my own creation. So I'm like, oh, I'm not being cocky, but like I've put all this work into it. I really want to use it. And again, part of the process, the part of the process is using something that's well-established, the Vegas implied totals, which I think is a big factor anyway, like that we should be kind of looking towards at all times. So this is something where it's a tool that I'm already encompassing that into. So I know I'm accounting for it as part of this metric. Now, sometimes the metric gets a little skewed, like the Jets, for instance. The Jets actually have the highest goal line grade this week, 117.75, only 2 teams above 100, them passing and another team we're just about to get to, actually. But the reason the Jets are so high is because they have 1 passing touchdown inside the 5, and it was on their only attempt inside the 5. So they have technically 100% efficiency. The Patriots have allowed 3 passing touchdowns and on all 3 pass attempts they faced inside the 5. So again, 100% efficiency. So that number kind of equals out to pretty high, even though the Jets have the 3rd lowest implied total this week at 17.75. You know, you add that to 100 average, that's why it gets 117.75, right? So that's one where, you know, maybe showing, okay, the where it can kind of get skewed on the efficiency and overcorrect there. So that's one where, okay, the Jets are really high, but I'm not saying go out and play a bunch of Jets. In fact, we're going to talk about the Jets pretty soon. One player that I'm not so high on, maybe it's because I'm also much higher on another Jets player, But there's one Jets player in particular that you seem to like prefer much more than myself. We did. There was a trade we made involving this player, so that actually kind of makes sense that we view them in that way. But outside of the Jets, in that pretty ridiculous score, the next highest score this week is actually the Packers passing 100.25, and most of it goes to Jones and Adams. That's kind of a given. Like, those guys get a bunch of red zone targets, targets inside the five. But I also think this is a great week to play all your Packers pass catchers. I think this is the better week to play a guy like Robert Tonyan, and it definitely reflects in the rankings. I've been pretty low on Tonyan this year. I've been kind of trying to avoid playing him wherever I've had him. I didn't have any redraft shares of him this year. I didn't like his price at all. Mostly where I've got him are dynasty leagues that I picked him up before last season when he was dirt cheap. And I've kind of just held through some I've traded off, others I've kept because I just couldn't get the right price. So this is the week where I would start him, though. We're mentioned that double digit differences on all the players involved today. And this is really the only tight end we're that different on. So I thought it was also a good place to start with. And in terms of difference, it's not as extreme, 10 spots difference. So I've got Tonyan at tight end 8. You have him down at tight end 18. And again, my biggest factor is probably the goal line guide. Which is going against consensus, because I am looking at the consensus. It's tight end 16 right now in half point PPR. So a lot closer to where you have him. But what were your feelings on tight end 18? I'm guessing that ranking says you don't think he's going to score a touchdown this week.
Yeah, he just hasn't really been getting the targets. I think he only had three targets last week. He's got to be a disappointment for some of our listeners out there. I mean, I don't have any shares or anything of Tonya, but I mean, and typically in weeks past, I've had him a little higher than you. It was with the potential of the touchdowns, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just giving up here, throwing my flag. I just don't see it happening, but based on the metrics that you were talking about, it seems like there's going to be lots of opportunity to score through the air for the Packers this week, especially, in the goal line opportunity. And he's obviously a huge target. And if Rodgers looks his way, he could certainly be in for a solid week, especially with some of the top tight ends out right now. So, I mean, I would certainly love for him to, kind of bounce back, but I just the last few weeks, I just haven't seen it. So that's kind of why I have him down even lower than the second tight end in New England, Jonnu Smith, right now.
Now, to be fair, the Patriots have one of the higher goal line grades. They actually have the third highest this week, second so at 99.75. So they're right there. I know I've got, this might be the week to start Jonnu Smith if there's any, but yeah.
Might be.
I still think of, which quarterback would I rather be attached to? What offense do I think could just, what offense has the chance to just put up 50, right? Maybe this is biased Packers fan, but I know as a Packers fan, I haven't felt more confident going into a game this season since the week one debacle. That was the Saints game. I thought the Packers were going to, the Saints are on the road themselves, even though it's a home game. How are they going to deal with that adversity? I thought the Packers were just going to crush them. And it turned out to be the exact opposite. And since then I've kind of been hesitant to over going on the Packers, but I don't know. I feel like every week they're just getting more and more efficient, avoiding the turnovers. Last week, faced a tough defensive front. They've gotten some offensive lineman help, healthy back. We'll see if that continues to be a trend, hopefully, over the next 2 weeks to get everyone back healthy on the offensive line. But I think this Packers team is set up this week to just dominate Washington. And I know they have the fourth highest implied total. We already mentioned the Chiefs at 31.25, the Rams have the highest this week, 32.75, and then the Cardinals at 32.5. Those are the only ones higher than the Packers. Okay. But I could see the Packers outscoring all those teams personally. So this is one where I just feel like even a guy like Alan Lazard, who's been struggling a lot, I know he did score the touchdown last week, but outside of that, he really hasn't done much. This might be the week to play them again, because I could see a ton of touchdowns being scored. And again, with tight ends, I think him, even if he only gets five targets and for Tonyan, and one of them is a touchdown, that to me would be enough to put him in the top 10, I think.
Sure.
So we'll see. It really does come down to that. Does he score the touchdown or not? If he finds the end zone, I'm probably right. If he doesn't, then you're right. So we'll see how it goes.
It's certainly helpful to have a Washington football team limping in there on defense that really just doesn't have an identity. It's certainly a disappointment this season. I know they were highly ranked as far as defense and special teams going into the season, and just really just had not found their footing. And they're heading to Green Bay, which I agree with you. They had the potential to really light up the scoreboard this week, and that Washington football team defense, that's certainly a squad that they can do that against. So I'm in agreement as far as playing your Packers. And I certainly like Alan Lazard as a kind of a flyer if you need to plug somebody in, something like that.
All right, so now we're going to get to, we already hinted at this, going from the Packers to the Jets, right? I mean, well, I guess Brett Favre did that, but we'll do it too now. We're a little bit better than Brett Favre, though, at least in the human being department. And he's probably not that good at fantasy either. that's all the Favre talk I can handle here. But yeah, we already hinted at this player for the Jets, Corey Davis. Again, week one, I think, or right after week one, we made a trade involving Corey Davis. So me shipping him off to you. I really, really wanted DeAndre Swift in that league. Mm-hmm. With Davis, we're 12 spots difference. Again, everything's double digit this week. You have met wide receiver 28. I have him right at that cusp of where we talk about players. I have him right at wide receiver 40. And I checked the ECR for Fantasy Pros, the expert consensus ranking. They have him at 28. So actually exactly where you have him. So good job, Brad. You matched the consensus. The truth is I have Jameson Crowder much higher. I have met wide receiver 17. I noticed you don't even have him in the top 40 unless I missed him. So clearly you have Davis higher than Crowder. I'm the opposite. I have Crowder higher than Davis. Just because right from the get-go, he started getting targets, right? His first game back, that says something. Like Zach Wilson wants Crowder more than anything. So it happened last year where even though it's a bunch of targets and he's not really efficient, he still was the wide receiver one on the team. So I'm just going to keep viewing Crowder that way, even though it seems like no one else does. But why do you have Davis as the wide receiver one for the Jets?
Yeah, I'm really just going back to 2 weeks ago, similar watching when the Buccaneers went into New England and just those wide receivers just running wide open in that secondary. I mean, which certainly bodes well for Crowder and Davis, but I think Davis has the home run ability. I think this could be a nice week for Wilson to, I'm not going to say, have a breakout game or anything like that, but I think Davis is going to have some opportunities down the field, intermediate, long routes to really make an impact. And I like his just potential for an opportunity for a home run touchdown. I mean, don't get me wrong. When it comes to PPR, and you got to like Crowder and his ability to, find the places in the zone, make the catches, obviously a safe target for Wilson. But I like the potential that Davis has to score this week a little bit more. And like I said, it really just goes back to a couple weeks ago and seeing those all three of the Buccaneers just running wide open in that secondary against the Patriots. I think that's something that Davis can take advantage of.
The lack of Stephon Gilmore there, who has since been traded, but even struggled to see the field at all just because of injury this year. I think that's really changed that defense to where they're not this shutdown secondary quite like they used to be. So I do get that. Again, I think I just wonder with that pass rush, if the slot receiver is the better way to exploit it. You're saying it's the perimeter receiver. So again, we'll find out who's right there. I just checked my rankings. So I'm like ridiculously high on Crowder. Like I mentioned, you don't even have him in your top 40. I've got him at wide receiver. What is it in half PPR? I've got him at wide receiver 23, which is 27 spots higher than consensus. The consensus ranking has him at 50. So apparently no one likes Crowder, but me, I do. I like Crowder. So go Crowder.
I like him. I just keep forgetting about him. This is 2 weeks in a row now. I think I've forgotten about him. So apologize.
We'll say he's at 41 for you.
Okay. Yeah.
He's
40B.
40B, which would still be higher than consensus regardless. But speaking of 40B, that's actually a nice transition there, Brad, because we're going to talk about AB and his cousin. Actually, Antonio Brown and Marquise Brown were 12 spots difference on both of them, but in opposite directions. I'm higher on Antonio, you're higher on Marquise. Now, this is one where I may lower Antonio. We'll see, like, through the week practice reports and stuff. Because I think there was news that Brown missed practice Wednesday. I'm just reading the reports now. He actually looks like he's missing practice today, Thursday, which is when we're recording this, October 21st. So I have Antonio Brown at wide receiver 6 in my rankings this week, because when he's been in, the healthy games he's played, he played and finished completely.
Yeah.
He saw at least 7 targets every week. Yeah. At least 5 catches and some monster yards performances, multiple touchdowns at times. Like when he's out there, it seems like he's their wide receiver 1 when he's fully healthy. Now, this is a week where he's maybe not so fully healthy. So this is one where I might lower him, but if he were to practice on Friday and find out that he's fine and he's going to play, I think I'll keep him here at 6. You know, if he's out, I'll obviously take him off the rankings entirely, but I could consider moving him down to, I have Chris Godwin at 14. So that might be one where I just kind of switch the players around and put Godwin Brown there, which would be a lot closer. You have Brown at 17 as the third wide receiver. So is it just the injuries, or is there another reason that you prefer in particular Mike Evans this week?
It did have a little bit to do with the injury that I read about, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Antonio Brown, I mean, he certainly has found the fountain of youth. I mean, not that he's an old man by any means, but I mean, the guy has not been able to be covered during the first 6 weeks of the season. Brady obviously has an eye out for him. He's drawing, I guess, perhaps the lower end of the secondary, which of course, certainly helps. And those Tampa Bay receivers. I mean, it's just like at the beginning of the year. It's really hard to predict who's gonna flash. Week to week, it seems like. And I do prefer Evans a little bit more this week. With his big frame and able to body up and with the touchdown potential. I think Godwin's due for a big splash game, but as far as the rankings, at one point when I was putting it together, I think I had all three of them like within 5 spots, like in that little bubble. I was like, no, that can't happen. Someone's gonna break out, and it seems like Gronk's coming back possibly, or I don't know if that's a definite. So you're gonna lose some targets there as well. So. I guess a little bit of the injury concern, but I mean, hats off to AB, and what he's been able to accomplish so far this season.
It doesn't hurt that he's getting passes thrown from Tom Brady, of course.
absolutely.
I mean, meanwhile, again, just on the Bucks though, it's pretty clear we're high on all three of them, right? Like I have them all inside. I had Godwin at 13 in half point PPR. I said 14 earlier. I misspoke. I think I might've been looking at standard instead of half PPR. That might've been what that was, but I've got all of them in my top 13. You've got all three of them in your top 17. Again, if Brown's out Friday, that'll change things for me. And I'll definitely, I mean, if he's out Friday, they might just say he's out for the game. So then I'll just take him off the list. And as a result, I might move Evans up into that 5 spot, to be honest.
Gotcha.
And Godwin right now at 13 would probably also be in the top 10. But yeah, I think just really high in this offense in general. I know we both have Brady pretty high.
How can you not be? Yeah.
I think we're actually pretty close on Brady. You have him at 4. I've got him at 6. So, and the consensus with Brady is 4. So you can kind of match. So I'm fading Brady apparently at 6. No, I'm not fading Brady. Start him everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just, I know you have Rodgers behind Brady. I have Rodgers ahead of Brady, just to, like that goal line guide better. I think that, and again, little healthier complement of weapons as opposed to Brady with the Bucks. Seems like again, it's one spot difference. Like it's we just flip flopped them, and I just like a little bit better on the Packers' health right now. And again, that goal line grade for the Packers this week was kind of screaming to me. So that's what it is there. But we'll get back to the wide receivers because that is the position to talk about. I already referenced it: Marquise Brown, Antonio Brown's cousin. It's funny because last week I finally gave him, okay, I'm going to put him in the top 10. That's where he's been all year. And then Brown fails to produce. It makes me look foolish. So you were right on him last week. You were, you know, with the return of Bateman, maybe fading Brown a little bit. So I guess myself, I know why I did. I still have him higher than Bateman. What do I have? Marquise Brown at 23. So I went a little lower this week. But you went up higher with Brown and you put him at wide receiver 11. So what changed your tune for this week? Is it the matchup against the Bengals? Do you think Brown fits best there?
It is the matchup. And I'm curious, so you probably have it in front of you, like what the total is on that game. I think this game has the potential to be a wild shootout as well. And I think that's where Hollywood's going to be able to do some damage. The Bengals, they don't necessarily have much of a pass rush, really. Their secondary is average. But, I mean, with Lamar Jackson back there, I think going against Joe Burrow, I think both these teams are going to be able to score some points. And I think Hollywood Brown's going to be right there alongside with Bateman as well. So I really look for this to be a high-scoring game. And in Baltimore, I guess, is where it is. Yep.
Yeah. So I do have it here again. I put it in my goal line guide. So it's all one convenient location, right, for me.
There you go.
Over under is 47, which is in the bottom half of this week.
Really?
Yeah. They've got the Ravens at 26.5 points and the Bengals down at 20.5. So I wonder, they're thinking AFC North, these matchups tend to always be a little tighter, a little more defensive.
A little black and blue. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I understand that, but I just see how both of these offenses have, you know, kind of clicked in the past. I mean, with the youth on the wide receivers for Burrow and just their opportunity to create separation and make big plays, I think Baltimore is going to have to answer. And that number is certainly lower than I thought it would be. I'm definitely interested to see how that one works out later.
Well, I guess we did talk about Antonio Brown, and we're still on the Brown talk here. Not the Browns. Mm-hmm. We talked about the other AFC North teams, just not the Browns here. And it's funny because, well, so first off, just about the Bengals Ravens, you also have Chase higher. I mean, we both have Chase in the top five. I've got Chase at both in the top five. I've got him at four this week. You have him at five. So yeah, so we're both really high on Chase, but I actually have Higgins higher than Marquise Brown. Just how many spots? Just three spots higher at wide receiver 20. Whereas I noticed you were, and I mean, we're pretty close on Higgins. I thought, yeah, you have at 25. So we're pretty close, but again, it's the differences relative to Marquise Brown. I think if the Ravens are ahead, you'd rather have the pass catchers for the Bengals, thinking they'll need to throw to keep up. Whereas, and this will come back in the running back discussion, but I'm a little higher on one running back in particular for the Ravens that I think might get a lot of the work if other players are injured or just ineffective. So that kind of, it cascades down to there. I think it, you know, maybe a heavier game for Lamar on the ground. But I'm a little hesitant with Brown. I still really like Mark Andrews. Like, I've got Andrews at tight end. I think I have him at tight end two, actually. I think I put him ahead of Waller this week. Yeah. So I kind of think it's that connection that I'd gear more towards. Whereas I know you didn't raise Andrews above Waller yet this week. You still have him at three. So I'm just a little bit more confident in Andrews and a little bit more confident.
I was tempted.
Yeah. Last week, it's definitely strong temptation. Andrews, well, the last 2 weeks, really, Andrews has done so well. And then to answer the question from earlier, before we forget, I did look it up. So you're right. The Buccaneers, and you nailed it, 26 games, their first 26 games of their history. So the entire 76 season, which I think at that point would have been 14 games, and then another 12 to start the next season. Wow. So,
and I want to say, Steve Spurrier was the quarterback during some of that, time, actually a name from, the past. The old ball coach down here in at University of Florida.
I don't know if anyone wants to be associated with that losing streak, but at least you're in history.
It's true.
Okay, I'm seeing something else though. So apparently the Chicago Cardinals had, this is strange, 29 straight games that went 6-10, 10-3. So I guess that's actually the record. Never mind, it's not the Bucks. I think the Bucks are the longest to start a season. And okay. then start a franchise. But yeah, so I guess, yeah, the Chicago Cardinals, so Arizona Cardinals franchise, you know how much they love to lose. But in the 40s, apparently, over three seasons, and this is when, you know, I guess two of those seasons, NFL schedule was 10 games, World War II shortened.
Right.
Like some teams fuse, like it shortened schedule, like it's strange times in the world in general, but also in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, through those four seasons, they lost 29 straight games. So it actually belongs to the Cardinals franchise, not the Bucks. Sorry to pour it onto the Cardinals fans. but no yeah, problem. I guess I
thanks for a little tidbit.
Yeah, so it's the Jags. They were kind of close, but not that close. They were still a ways away, still a half a season away from getting there. So like, you can feel better about that, Jags fans and Brad.
Woo.
Now let's get to running backs. You know, usually something we start with, but counting down in terms of distance. So 10 spots on the tight end. We had 12 spots on all three of the receivers. That was kind of funny there. And then we're getting to that 12 spots on one running back in particular, Melvin Gordon. And so just looking at where we had them ranked, you were higher on Gordon. Seems like reverse, because didn't a couple weeks ago you have Gordon ahead of Williams? Yeah, so what's kind of led to that switch?
I'm getting impatient with Javonte Williams, basically. I think tonight? Yeah, that's tonight, Thursday. I think he's going to be involved a little bit more in the passing game. I think you're going to see him, go against some of those Cleveland linebackers I think Bridgewater is going to be able to, really utilize him in the passing game in addition to the rushing game as well. So that's kind of why I have him bumped up a little bit. I know the Broncos would like to get Javonte Williams involved more, which I know he's gotten a few catches here and there, but I just think with the short turnaround, I think the veteran's going to excel tonight over the rookie. Kind of used to having to deal with that. And I mean, I think it's an important game for both these franchises. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're both on a little bit of a slide. So I think the confidence is there a little bit more with Gordon and, having the ball in his hand. So I think he's going to be able to see a little more touches than the 50-50 split we've been seeing in the previous weeks. So that's why I kind of bumped him up there.
I know last week Gordon was dealing with a bit of an injury. He still got 10 carries, 3 targets. Williams had 11 carries, 3 targets. Like, it's basically the same workload. And because it's the short week, I actually think the younger guy will do better. So maybe this is funny. We reached the opposite conclusions from the same process of, okay, the short week there means, and you're thinking, okay, the veteran who knows how to handle a Thursday night, right? Like he's done this before. So he knows how to prepare for a short week and still be effective. Whereas Williams might not. Whereas I'm thinking, okay, if Gordon's dealing with an injury, is he not recovering as quickly from this game? And whereas Williams might be more spry, they might use him more, thinking, okay, at some point they might just rest Gordon. Although, as you mentioned, important game. I believe both these teams are 3-3. So one of them will be above 500. One of them will be below, unless it's a tie, of course. And 500 for everybody. We basically almost have them reversed, because I've got Javonte at running back 16, whereas you have him at 20. So you're actually pretty like you're only so, five spots.
Still difference. Pretty close, right? Yeah. I mean, I can't move him around too much. I mean, I'm still waiting for that breakout game for what are we at a
week 2 7 months now.
So he's not too far removed from Gordon. I just think, I mean, the short week and the importance of the game, I think they're going to trust the veteran a little bit, but I understand he is dealing a little bit with the injury. So I certainly understand your standpoint as far as letting the rookie go wild. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight.
Especially against a strong pass rush, you figure they're going to run a lot. Quarterback who's also dealing with an injury. So it actually kind of like it makes sense for you to have both of them in the top 20. Like if you think that it's going to be a really heavy run script for both. Again, so the big difference really is Gordon. You've met 15. I have met 27. I'm looking at the consensus. ECR has Javonte at 22, Melvin Gordon at 23. So apparently the experts can't decide. we'll see who gets the better go. For some of you, some of you might be listening to this, that game's already done. So you already know which one of us looks smart and which one of us looks foolish. There if they were just shut out completely and they both finished outside the top 30 and we both messed up completely. Yeah. So.
Exactly. Hopefully that's not the case.
But let's get to some players playing Sunday or later. So I guess this is another one. I already hinted at it, so we'll get to it. Devontae Freeman. With Latavius Murray dealing with an injury, it's Freeman, Lev Bell. And I know Lev Bell scored the touchdown, but it really does seem like Freeman's the guy they want to give more touches to. 9 carries last week, I believe, led the team. So after seeing less than 9 carries the entire season, right? So that like Freeman got the work last week, wasn't the most effective. 9 carries, 53 yards. I mean, decent yards per carry. But again, with the touchdown really is what made the difference for Freeman. It might come down to that too, where does he score a touchdown? Does he not? 13 spots difference. I've got him at running back 20. So I'm saying he's going to be the guy in the top 20. Instead of the extra Broncos running back, you've got him down at running back 33. I still believe he's your highest ranked Ravens running back. So you kind of have him as the lead guy. You've already kind of said your point. You think it's going to be through the air, passing a lot of Hollywood Brown, maybe the rookie Bateman as well. But you're thinking Ravens more through the air. I'm thinking Ravens more in the ground. So that's where Freeman gets the bump.
Ravens through the air, Jackson with his legs. And when I was putting this together, couldn't really figure out if Murray was going to, how effective he was going to be coming in on Sunday. So, I mean, I think I started off with Murray in the top 30 and then I just kind of moved him down based on the injury report. But yeah, I mean, I just think this game is going to have its fair share of points. And I think most of it's going to be through the air, but I like Devontae Freeman. He certainly has the capability. He's obviously shown that he can, be an every down back and can be more than efficient catching the ball out of the backfield, with his days with the Falcons. So we'll kind of see how this shakes out this weekend. You had him at 20. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I've got him in the top 20. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Him, D'Ernest Johnson at 19. So those replacement running backs, I think they can do enough to be in the top 20.
Yeah. Especially this week. Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll move up the rankings a little bit, at least actually for you, not for me. That's why we're talking about this player. So a player you have in your top 12, and I think our top 12 running backs are mostly identical. Obviously this player you don't have in your top 12 I don't have in the top 12. I think the difference really is Cordarrelle Patterson for you. You had him just out. You had him at 13, whereas I do have him in the top 12. So that's kind of where the difference is. But I think every other player in the top 12 is the same, not necessarily the same order, but at the same group of 12 players. Again, the one difference for Patterson isn't big difference, right? You have him just at 13. So basically there, but
right.
Damian Harris is the one for me. You have him at RB 11. I've got him down at RB 24. Also a little higher than consensus on Stevenson this week. And certainly the pass catchers. Again, I go back to that goal line guide, 99.7 for the passing grade for the Patriots, 57.25 for their run grade, which isn't bad as the Jets, for instance, but and I think, it's more on the Jets. It's been offenses have been more effective scoring passing touchdowns against them than rushing touchdowns. But it's again, also the Patriots, the 100% effective efficiency, which maybe is skewed because they've only thrown one pass inside the five. It was a 1 yard throw to Jonnu Smith. So it's their only goal line pass, but they scored on it. So they get the 100% grade. Whereas
there you go,
3 rushing touchdowns inside the five on 9 attempts, a 33%. It's not the lowest in the league, but it's below average. They have not been as effective running it. And I know this is after last week where they finally broke through and scored rushing touchdowns, because for a while there they hadn't. I mean, they had two last week. So entering last week, it was one for, it was like under 20% efficiency. They were like 1 for 5 or 1 for 6. So it helped. But even with the two touchdowns last week, they're still below average. So I don't think they're that great. And the Jets have historically been a really good run defense. So I don't see the touchdowns for Harris this week. I think he'll get enough volume. Again, I've met as an RB2, just making that line at RB24. I know there's a couple players, like I've got Alex Collins a couple spots ahead. I know he's not fully healthy. Like that's one where I could move Harris up to maybe 22. I have Dylan at 21. I could see it. Maybe the argument there too, of putting him right behind Freeman and Johnson. Could even maybe creep up in the top 20 if we find other guys are healthy. But yeah, I think anything really tough for me to see him as a top 20 back this week, obviously. But I know you've been a big Damian Harris fan all season, so it kind of makes sense. I felt like we were going to debate about him multiple times this year, so this is just another example of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I have been certainly been a big fan of Harris this season. I mean, obviously, I was elated when Michelle got traded, and I do have a few shares of the Harris, but I mean, he finally hit the century mark last week. My concerns are with him, holding on to the football and his injuries. It seemed like he missed an opportunity for a second touchdown last week when he had to come out of the game, and Ramondre Stevenson was right there to plow it in. But I feel like this is an important game for going back to important games. This is an important game for the Patriots to kind of, steady the season. I think it's going to be a hard fought game, but I think it's going to be a calculated game where they're going to want to control the ball, control the time of possession. And, I don't know what the spread is, but I think it's going to be a close game, and they're going to try and check all the right boxes to just come away with a victory. I mean, I want to say these two teams have already played, early on. So I just think I think the volume is there for Harris, and I look for him to really build from last week when he went up against a surprisingly much better Cowboys defense than we've seen in the last couple of years. So I mean, a nice game for him. Like I said, kind of missed out on a second touchdown, but so I mean, based on everybody who's playing this week, because like we did mention, we do have six teams out on the bye. I decided to really just shoot them up the rankings there and inside the top 12.
Yeah, I think you could at least convince me to move up a few spots. So I've kind of just looked at my rankings. 21 probably seems better than 24. So I think I'd move them there, which would still equal a 10 spot difference. So we can still talk about them. But no, you're right. You're right with the spread, right? I mean, you're saying you maybe think it's closer, but the Patriots are 7-point favorites, which would be the type of game script that would favor a type of back like Damian Harris, to be fair. So
right.
Good point to that, in that if the Patriots do blow them out, then Harris is probably just going to get a ton of work anyway. So yeah, 21, maybe he should be in the top 20.
I don't know if they will. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to blow him out. I mean, that's I think they're going to be happy with getting a W, and they're going to have to, grind it out a little bit on the ground. So, yeah.
Okay, I definitely see your point. Again, I know you've been a lot higher on Harris than the consensus throughout, although this week you're not that much higher. Consensus ranking has him at RB13. In half point PPR. So I'm definitely the Harris hater this week. You're not fanatically in love with him. You're kind of where the consensus is. Now we'll move to Elijah Mitchell, a backfield. I'm just fanatically not in love with this backfield. And my rankings reflect that. I don't think there's a lead guy there. I don't think there's a workhorse. And the Colts run defense is pretty decent. And I already talked about it. I hinted at it earlier with the goal line guide. I knew there was a reason I brought that one up. Again, I kind of prefer the 49ers passing it this week to running it. I don't love their efficiency with either, but I don't think Elijah Mitchell finds the end zone. And so in fact, I have him outside of the RB2 range entirely, down at RB30, which is 14 spots difference. The highest so far we've encountered this week. You've met RB 16. So what's your argument to Elijah Mitchell?
I think the week off, everybody getting healthy, a new mindset. Once again, an important game for the 49ers. I mean, and the Colts too, but I think it's going to mean more for the Niners. I mean, they're already, third place out in the West. Something like that. So, I mean, this is a needed game for them, coming off the bye week. Certainly would have helped if Kittle would have, come back. I think that would have helped out the running game a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to see who's gonna emerge there. I know Sermon's a little bit banged up. It seems like Garoppolo's taken over at quarterback, so that kind of maybe influenced my mindset a little bit as far as not having the mobile quarterback back there to pick up some of the yards or even maybe around the goal line, even though you certainly mentioned that they don't run very well around the goal line. So I guess I'm just playing a little bit more towards, just bouncing back with a fresh mind off their bye week and to win in an important game. And once again, I think it's going to be kind of similar to what the Patriots mindset is going to be as far as like grinding it out on the ground. Don't get me wrong. Samuel's certainly going to get his. I would love to see Ayuk, emerge after this bye week as well. I think both of us would like to see that for our own personal reasons, and maybe some of you guys out there as well. But I'm just kind of taking a risk on Mitchell being the lead back this week against the Colts. Next week it could be somebody else. I don't know. I mean, just as frustrated as you, but I'm just thinking that the bye week is going to do good things for the 49ers in the rushing game.
So a few things there. First off, to be fair, the 49ers actually have been running decently in the goal line, 50% efficiency. So at league average, it's the matchup. That's what's influencing the goal line grade. Again, gotcha. The Colts, one of the best goal line run defenses in the league. Technically the Jets are the only team that haven't allowed a goal line rushing touchdown yet, which is again why a little lower on Damian Harris this week. But then other than that, the Colts have allowed one, and it looks like the Cardinals and Bucks have also allowed one. So the Colts are like right there in terms of top of the league at that goal line defense. So that's really it for me. And when you mentioned Garoppolo being an advantage for Mitchell, it's funny. It's do mobile quarterbacks help running backs or not? It's the age old debate. There might be less attempts, but does that make better efficiency? Right. The defense doesn't have to spy or focus on the quarterback, so they can focus fully on the running back getting the ball. Whereas when a mobile quarterback, you always have that worry. So does it give them that second of hesitation? So I'm leaning more on the lack of efficiency that a guy like Elijah Mitchell, speedy guy, right? Hit the hole quick. He would benefit more actually from Trey Lance being there. The defense wouldn't be as in tune to him. Whereas maybe a guy like Sermon, with Sermon, it seems like he's got the technical aspects down. The vision's there. He knows how to hit the hole properly and find his seams, but he just doesn't have the athletic burst to get it done as quick, at least not as quick enough as what seems like Shanahan wants. So like Sermon, gotcha. I think would be better suited with Garoppolo, where that you don't need like those extra seconds aren't there anyway for Sermon. Like he's not hitting the hole fast enough anyway. So with him, you want him to find the vision. But again, I don't like going into that backfield anyway. So I just feel like,
yeah, I know you don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
not
it.
A fan either.
My dislike for the backfield really enters the rankings this week, but we'll talk about, it's funny. We'll talk about this is the first time where the poll we've done on Twitter, which we find on Twitter at FPC_fantasypod, of course, every week. This is the first time where we've done a quarterback. We've gone through, I think, every other position at least once, mostly been wide receivers, weeks in a row we've done wide receivers, but we have hit running back and tight end earlier in the season, have done quarterback yet. And really there's only one quarterback where we're massively different on this week, 15 spot difference. So the most this week, so I've been counting towards this. And again, I'm a Packers fan, so this almost pains me to have him this high, but you've known all through the offseason, I really believe in the talent of Justin Fields, and he seemed to kind of start to put it together last week. I saw the throwing with anticipation. and getting it done through the air. And I mean, still running around, getting stuff with his legs, which I think will be really important this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where the Bears probably won't be able to run the football as much as they want to. I think that Fields is going to be needed to put this on his arm, and he's going to get maybe the most pass attempts he's ever had in a game. And so with that volume, I think can lead to efficiency because we talked about it, right? The Bucs are so great as a run defense against running backs, but they're more vulnerable to quarterbacks. We saw what Jalen Hurts did against them last week, had an awful football game, but got two rushing touchdowns to be, he was a top five quarterback. Now I have Fields at QB nine. So I don't think he can quite has that the same ceiling right now as Hurts does, you know, 10 games into his career as opposed to four games. So I'm not going to put Fields in the top five, but I have him at QB nine, whereas you've got him all the way down at QB 24. So you're not convinced yet?
No, I mean, not against the Buccaneers, not on the road in Tampa. And here's why. Yes, the Buccaneers secondary is vulnerable. They've obviously had lots of attrition with injuries. And however, I have been impressed with their pass rush. They got the rookie Tryon. Hyphenated name, not sure what, I can't remember what that is, but he's from Washington. He's certainly been turning it up. I think against that Bears offensive line, I think they're going to be able to really impose their will. I think Tampa Bay is going to be able to jump on top, stay on top, and the defensively, they're going to be able to you know, pin their ears back and come after Fields. And there's only so much you know, an athlete like Fields can endure, especially as a rookie, you know, running around and evading the pressure. I don't think he has the weapons in this contest. I mean, I'm right there with you. I mean, both of us were very high on Fields coming into the season. I just don't see it happening this week. I mean, I did like what I saw last week, and he did seem to make some progressions, but I don't like the matchup at all. So that's why I kind of kicked him down. He was higher, but I just had to keep bringing him down a little bit.
It's funny.
He can probably go up a little bit because I had Baker Mayfield at 20. So we can kind of move everybody up a little bit.
True. Well, I mean, you might also just say just replace him with Case Keenum. Right? Like, I don't know where you'd rank Case Keenum coming in. There.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes, I can make that change. yes, the editor. But yeah, so it's funny because I was the opposite. I had Fields low because, okay, he hasn't been producing, but then the lack of quarterback, we already talked about it. Three of the top six are out. There's six total teams. And I just kept raising him and raising him. Like, I wasn't convinced with the matchups for other teams. And suddenly he's in my top 10.
There you go.
Consensus has him at 16. So this is one where we're both kind of off of consensus. I'm seven spots higher. Right now you're eight spots lower. So I'm actually technically the closer to consensus, but yeah, like, so it's one where the consensus is kind of right in the middle of us. So we're like really represent the two polar opposite extremes of Justin Fields for this week. So we're going to find out, but of course the listeners let us know. This seems like a really interesting poll to answer. So on Twitter at @FBC_fantasypod, check for, should be in the pinned tweet, including a link to this episode. If that's where you found it, then look at the next tweet and then it should be the poll there. So do you agree with Brad having Justin Fields down at QB 24, or do you agree with myself having him up at QB 9 for week 7? But of course, you can follow both of us on Twitter. Brad's at @TheRundown_BH. I'm at Sunra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app, available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives you all the great Full Press Coverage content in one spot. That includes both of Brad and my rankings. Also, the goal line guide I was talking about earlier, that article will all be there. So everything Full Press Coverage, including all the podcasts, one convenient spot, and that's for free through the Full Press Coverage app. Also, shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_II official. He lets us use the song Melody as our intro and outro music, so thank you very much, PA, for that. Brad, do you have any final thoughts for the listeners?
No, once again, this was a lot of fun. We'd love to hear from you, hear about your votes, kind of let us know which one's right, which one's wrong, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But that's about it.
Awesome. And of course, we'll be here with you every week on the Full Press Fantasy Pod.